Now in stereo.
All right, welcome to the third episode of One More Podcastle, the newest podcast about the oldest games. I'm Eric Bailey, a somewhat of a contributor to the website, but primarily I serve as the editor-in-chief of onemorecastle.com.
And I'm Eric Hunter, the humble inventor of the Virtual Boy 2, set to be released in 2045, and also I am the technical engineer.
My name's Jason Lamb, and I'm the PC contributor to the website, and I could really go for a ham sandwich.
Ham sandwich.
Delicious.
Speaking of things I enjoy, I am glad to have the crew back together.
Woohoo!
This is only our second episode all together with me, Hunter, and Jason, but from now on, we'll pretty much be the threesome that is performing the podcast. So, how are you guys?
Pretty good.
I'm really burnt from the sun.
Yeah, why is that, Hunter? You just had some kind of big life event go on recently.
Well, it wasn't that big. I just got married, went on my honeymoon. I'm back now.
Yeah, you know.
She doesn't listen to this, so it's not that big of a deal.
Nice. Well, the big event in my life is we are getting new windows at the house. I don't know what day they're being installed, but my wife is going to be happy to finally have more than one window that she can open.
That's convenient.
That's nice.
Yeah, that is going to be very nice. And it'll be nice to replace the windows that frost over on the inside and the outside during the winter.
Did you go for the triple pane window glass?
We didn't go that fancy. We went for not the basic chintzy cheap windows, but not the super high-tech ones either. So, pretty much story of my life. Never the worst, never the best. Just enough to be happy with what we got.
Nice.
Man, that sounds like such an old man. I get excited for new windows. But
hey, new windows are good.
That's true. Oh, well. But speaking of things that are more fun, have you guys had any time for any old games lately?
Yeah, actually. I finished up The Legend of Zelda, The Minish Cap for the Game Boy Advance.
Nice.
Mixed feelings. I felt like, because this is, I think it was Capcom's third or fourth attempt at making a Zelda game, and I felt like they were just rehashing a lot of the aspects from all the other games, being able to become small made the world twice as big, which just kind of reminded me of A Link to the Past and the Light and the Dark World. All of the sound effects were ripped from Wind Waker. A lot of the explosions and the character designs and the sprites were all rehashed from Wind Waker. I wasn't too excited about playing it. A lot of the puzzles seemed kind of really toned down. But, I mean, it's a Zelda game, so, I mean, I had fun playing it, but it's definitely not on my top five list of Zelda games. So,
yeah, I feel like Link's Awakening will forever be my favorite Zelda portable game. Like, I don't feel like it can be beaten.
Absolutely. And I had played it. I had played the original release for the Game Boy, and I beat it, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot the DX version has that extra dungeon for your tunic color. I was like, I kind of want to do that. So I played through the game enough so I could get the different color tunic, and I was like, oh, this is great. And then I ended up playing through the game again all the way to the end. So I played it twice back to back.
That's the way to go.
Yeah, other than that, I've been playing Phantasy Star on the Sega Master System.
Nice.
Ooh.
So I'm not too far into it. I'm really digging kind of like that over-the-shoulder, head-on battle-style RPG, which is really nice, rather than the side-by-side. That's really cool. I'm having some issues with the story, but I could go on for hours about that. Well, Jason, what about you?
As we were discussing before the podcast, I just got my computer repaired. I'm actually gearing up to play Thief 2.
I didn't know there was a Thief 1.
There is.
I'm not familiar either, but it certainly sounds like fun. Do you get to steal things?
You do. It's kind of a first-person stealth-based game. kind of set in semi-medieval times.
Okay, because I know I've heard of it before.
Yeah. They're making a new one right now. I think it comes out next year, but someone, no one really knows who released it, but on some French forum, someone released a patch, like an unofficial patch that actually allows it to run on modern systems.
Oh, that's neat.
In like full 1080p widescreen, because up until now, it wouldn't run on a Windows 7 system.
I tell you what, I can't remember the last time I played a PC game that I was really into, other than like Portal, which I don't know. Like, I don't know. My PC knowledge is super low in terms of actual fun games to play.
I actually feel like the majority of my PC gaming experience was as a kid going through those shareware floppy disks and playing like the demo versions of games like TIE Fighter and the Doom games and things like that. So all of my PC gaming memories are warm and fuzzy and tinged with sentimentality from my childhood.
I played Warcraft 2 quite a bit back in the day. That's when I first got the 386 model.
Nice.
Yeah, 386. I actually played Adventures of Tom Sawyer on NES this past week.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's one of those games you don't hear a lot about because it's very average. It's also not the most common game. And when you do hear about it, people make it sound like it's terrible, but it's not horrible. It's not great, but it's not horrible either. And not to sound like a plug, but that is the most recent review up on NintendoLegend.com right now. If you want to hear me blather on about it for a few hundred words, the review's there. So other than that, that's the extent of my retro gaming recently.
Good stuff, guys. Good stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. Zelda, Thief, Tom Sawyer, the classics.
The ones that we're going to be telling our kids about.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hadouken! You guys ready for the retro gaming discussion question?
Uh-oh.
Totally.
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. What is one retro game that you find annoying? Who wants to go first on that one?
I vote for Jason.
Damn it. All right.
All you, Jason.
All right. After a lot of thinking, I actually boiled it down, and a lot of people are going to hate this, but I boiled it down to StarCraft.
Ooh, that is an intriguing choice. You might get some hate mail this week.
I know.
Jason, tell us why.
I love real-time strategy games.
Then why would you find StarCraft annoying?
Are you more into like a fantasy than a sci-fi theme?
No. I love the sci-fi theme. And I can't argue that StarCraft is a poorly designed game from a technical aspect or even an artistic aspect, but to me, it kind of embodies this shift in real-time strategy games where you kind of go from a purely strategic, tactical kind of thought process in playing a game to one where you have to basically know every single unit's counter unit.
I see what
and
you're
it doesn't
saying.
Actually come down to tactics. It just basically comes down to, okay, how many actions per minute can I do? Okay, he sent his Goliath in. That means I should send these units.
So it's more of a rock, paper, scissors kind of thing.
Yeah, it's more of a rock, paper, scissors than a pure, okay, I'm going to line these guys up on this ridge here, and if he goes through this valley, okay, my tanks will bombard him. It really takes a lot of the strategy I like out of it and just kind of boils it down to you got to click really fast and you got to basically know all the counter units.
I think I hear you on this, and I have your back for what it's worth, because that sounds annoying to me too. I have that problem with certain card games and board games. If you remove strategy and all the tactical decision-making, and it just becomes a game of, well, what's the obvious best choice to make here? It really removes something. So, yeah, okay. I respect that, Jason. So
right.
If you get some hate mail, I totally got your back on this one.
All right, thank you.
I'll just watch from the sidelines.
How about you, Hunter?
I'm going to have to agree with Jason. This was a pretty difficult question because I can think of 1,000 games that have 1,000 things wrong with them, but I still love the game.
Sure.
So I finally got it down to the NFL Blitz series of games, particularly the NFL Blitz 2000 for the Dreamcast. So for those who don't know what NFL Blitz is, this is before EA Sports pretty much bought out every single official sporting whatever. They own the rights to everything.
Yes.
Sports.
All the whatevers.
Yeah. So it was an action football game that was made by Midway. So if you kind of want to think of a more rough and tumble, kind of like NBA Jam was, it was more I want your quarters football game. It's a lot of fun. You can do late hits, and there's, you know, there's rarely any reps and rules and calls and stuff like that. The thing that really irks me about that game is towards the end of the game, if you're winning by anywhere between 14 to 21 points and you're in the last quarter, for somehow the computer realizes that it's losing. So it decides to cheat. And the way that it cheats is you suddenly start to fumble the ball every other play, or every throw or every pass that you throw is intercepted. It's so annoying because rather than the game just beefing up the AI and learning the same play I've been calling every play of the game and learning to combat that, they'd rather just me, if I spin once to get away from a defender, that the second I get touched, I lose the ball. Yeah. And that irks me so much, the point where I'll play maybe halfway, two-thirds through, and when that starts happening, I turn it off.
Whenever the AI has that so-called catch-up programming, that is annoying. I hear you. Because, I mean, something like Mario Kart 64 at least had the spiky blue shell, which was a fun way of incorporating a way to punish whoever's in first place. Like, it was annoying to get hit by it, but it didn't feel as cheap as just, oh, all of a sudden I'm magically losing. So,
right.
Wow.
Right. And I can understand from the point of like a business where, okay, create an arcade game. Obviously, I want your quarters. So not only am I going to have you pay 50 cents or whatever it would be now, I don't know, a dollar, I guess, after every quarter if you want to continue to play. By the end of the game, the computer's going to do whatever it can to win so that you play again. Now, when you port that idea from an arcade to a home console, it's more about the replay value. You've got to take those cheap antics out, or nobody's going to replay the game. Now, granted, I've got like three or four versions of NFL Blitz just because I just, and you know, inherited them over the years. But I can't play them. I can't play a full game unless I'm playing against somebody else. But even when I'm playing against somebody else and I'm winning, their teammates will have more of a chance to make an interception, or when I get touched, I get fumbled. And it's just bad game design.
Really? It still does it when it's a human player against you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, and that game especially, if you're playing defense, you call the play and you put the controller down and let the computer do it, because 99 times out of 100, the computer is going to win the play for you.
Ugh. Yeah, I feel annoyed just listening to you
that
guys.
Sounds awful.
Is it my voice? Is that what it is? Or do you mean the game?
The game, I promise.
Because I think you sound like an angel.
Oh, well, I'm very flattered.
I was looking at Jason's picture when I said that.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, ouch. Oh, my feelings are hurt.
Hey, two for two.
Hey, you know, I got some ice for this burn. It's all good. So there's a game I find annoying.
What is it, Bailey? What is that game?
It's similar to what Jason said. It's kind of a strange choice because a lot of people like it, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Tetris.
Oh!
The original 8-bit NES Tetris.
The Tengen version, or?
Either.
Either, okay.
This is why I am terrible at it. In the retro gaming community, it's widely regarded as one of the competitive standards. Like, if you really want to impress people with how good you are at NES, you tell them, you know, how high you can get on Tetris, and you can get that 6-digit score with all nines, and how quickly you can score, and how many rounds you can last. But I've always been bad at it. I grew up even, like, I was the gamer in my household, and my sister would play video games, but I'd still say I was probably more of a gamer, but she would thrash me in Tetris, just utterly destroy me. And it's not all puzzle games. Something like Dr. Mario or even Tetris Attack, I love those games. I can stay competitive at those. But I am terrible at Tetris, and I cannot figure it out. I don't understand it. I don't know why I'm bad at it. I don't know if my brain is just not built the right way. but that game confounds me and frustrates me, and I find it annoying.
Fair enough.
Huh. Thank you guys for letting me get that off my chest. I appreciate it.
That's been building for years, hasn't it?
It has. That was very cathartic and therapeutic. I needed to say that.
Well, I got a question. How well do you do with casual games in general? Because to me, Tetris seems to be like the first official casual gamer's game. Anybody can pick it up and play. So how well do you do with other casual games?
Give me an example of another game you would consider casual.
Maybe Bejeweled?
Yeah, like Bejeweled or even the,
Angry Birds?
Yes, Angry Birds. I don't play. I don't do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I actually really like Angry Birds. My brother-in-law and his wife have an iPad that has it on there, and occasionally I'll steal it away and play it a little bit. And I've played through on their account, like, probably over 100 levels by now. Like, I don't have a problem with that game. Bejeweled, specifically, I haven't played much of, but you guys will have to trust me. If I played it, I would probably get pretty good at it, especially compared to Tetris. There is some strange otherworldly reason or something behind it. I don't even know, but I can't deal with Tetris.
Well, it can't be the music, because the music's amazing in Tetris.
Yeah, the music is great. Maybe that's the problem. I need to try it on silent and not get distracted by the great music.
You'd be surprised how taken out of the game if you can't hear the music. Like, I'll play games like in the living room when my wife's watching TV or something. Obviously, she doesn't want to hear me playing video games, so I mute it or turn the volume down or whatever. And sitting there and playing the game, it's like you really get taken out of the game. You know, it is a completely different effect when that music isn't hitting you the whole time, especially like in an RPG, like with me playing Phantasy Star. Like, I get really worked up even more when the random attack comes, because I didn't hear it coming. I just suddenly, the screen flashes and I'm in a battle and I'm like, what the hell happened? Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't get the warning.
I learned that the hard way with survival horror games.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I could imagine.
Like, they actually use audio cues. Like, there might be someone walking up behind you, and if you don't have the sound up, you're dead. So maybe that's a good discussion question for another night on how important music and sound are for gaming. You know what? I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to make a note.
Start taking notes, bitches!
Oh, yeah! All right. I think we have run the well dry on the annoying retro game question. So we're going to take a break now for a musical interlude. And we're back.
And we hope you enjoyed the musical breakdown. That was Final Fantasy Mystic Quest Battle 1 by Torzelin.
And now it's time for our main segment, the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
Or if you want to call it the Retro Throwdown, that's okay too. For those who don't know, this is the distinctive part of our show where each of us co-hosts has brought a retro game in mind, and we haven't told each other yet what they are, but each of us will have 2 minutes to present our game, and then after introductions, we're just going to argue about them, about whose is the best, And then you, dear listener, will get to vote for your favorite on the podcast page at the website. And Jason is our official timekeeper. Yeah, he's ready, and he's going to tell me when I can get started with my intro.
Are you ready?
I think I am, yeah.
All right, you may proceed.
All right, so tonight, for the Retro Showdown Throwdown, I have chosen a game for the Atari 2600, way back from 1978 or 1980, depending on what source you look up, apparently. I'm picking Dodge'em. If you're not familiar with Dodge'em, it is an insane game. It's like Pac-Man on a racetrack. There's three modes of play. You can play one player, two player alternating, or two player simultaneous. Your goal is you are a race car, and you need to pick up all of the pellets on the course. And you're constantly in motion. There are several lanes that go around the center of the track. In fact, there's four different lanes. Obviously, the one towards the center of the screen is the smallest, and the one towards the outer part is the largest. You can control your speed to speed up or slow down, and you can switch lanes at four different places. So like the dividing line across horizontally and vertically, there's spots to change lanes. So imagine you're constantly going around this track, shifting lanes, trying to pick up all the pellets. When you collect all the pellets, you go to the next level. And in two-player alternating, you take turns seeing how many levels you can complete. And in two-player simultaneous, both of the cars are going around the track in opposite directions. So if you ever enter the same lane, you can crash into each other.
15 seconds.
And with the Atari 2600, there's different modes of play that will include, like, obstacles on the field, things that can kill you. But think of it as Pac-Man on speed.
All right. Mr. Hunter, are you ready?
I am.
All right. You may proceed whenever you wish.
My week's pick for this week's Retro Showdown Throwdown is Jerry Glanville's Pigskin Foot Brawl, ported from the arcade to the Sega Genesis in 1990 by Bailey Midway. The game takes place in the 7th century, where two fierce teams punching and kicking it out on the football field in the most brutal way imaginable. You play as an armored quarterback, blue for player 1, red for player 2, and play with some of the loosest football rules possible. The game takes place in two different arenas, an outdoor courtyard in the first half, and what can only be described as a medieval dining hall in the second. Littered throughout both arenas are weapons ranging in swords, spiked clubs, and spears that you can use on your opponent's unarmored teammates to make the bearer of the ball to an untimely death. There are two different modes of difficulty, pigskin and pro pigskin. Selecting pro pigskin and beating the opposing team by a large margin early in the game, the crowd will shout for a troll to be added to the opposing team. These trolls are invincible, like the armored players, and are twice as fast. With the arcade-style football action, the punching, the kicking, and the Elvis sightings are more than enough to be the one and only pick. As Jerry Glanville is quoted on the box, it's football with an attitude. A bad attitude.
All right. I guess I'll talk about my game now. The game I chose this week was the 1994 classic Shaq Fu. Shaq Fu is a 2D fighting game released on the Sega Mega Drive / Genesis, Sega Game Gear, Super Nintendo, and Game Boy platforms. It was later ported to the Amiga platform as an exclusive in Europe. It features former professional basketball player Shaquille O'Neal, also known as Shaq, as a playable character. In the game's storyline, Shaquille O'Neal wanders into a kung fu dojo while heading to a charity basketball game in Tokyo, Japan. After speaking with a kung fu master, he stumbles into another dimension where he must rescue a young boy named Nezu from the evil mummy, Set Ra. Basically, it's Shaquille O'Neal in a 2D fighting game. Amazing. End of argument.
All right, so is your time up, Jason? Can we make fun of your game yet? Okay, your game is crap.
It's really bad, Jason. It's really, really bad.
It's amazing.
It's amazingly bad.
It's one of those
the cover art.
No. I've got the cover art memorized. It haunts me at nights.
I want
it haunts me in the daytime.
Like, it's every single person has reviewed this game and has talked about how bad this game is. He says he calls when okay, so it's like Street Fighter, like when the battle's over, they have like that quick little cutscene where there's like the text underneath and he's, you know, you're talking smack. He says, "Come at me, brawl." B-R-A, brawl. Is that a Shaq Fu thing? Or, I mean, it's... Bailey, help me out here. Like, I can't even
feel classic like... and quotable.
I need to point out that, if you recall, One More Castle, on August 8th, helped organize an event called Review a Bad Game Day. If you go to reviewabadgameday.com, you will not find Dodrum on Atari 2600. You will not find Jerry Glanville's Pigskin Foot Brawl. But you will find a review of Shaq Fu. What does that tell you?
It tells me it's an underrated classic.
Okay. Here's the thing about Shaq Fu. If by some misguided miracle Shaq Fu wins the listener voting, it will only be because the listeners are trolling us.
It will be in spite.
Are you insulting our listeners?
Not at all. I am all for trolling a system when it needs it. I'm just saying that no one in their right mind could actually vote for it sincerely.
I would like to quote the review from reviewabadgameday.com. It ends with, "I would still recommend playing it when you get a bunch of friends together and pop in at 3 a.m. Everything awful about the game makes versus matches so much more entertaining."
If you're high.
Or drunk.
Or anything above. There's no sane person would play and enjoy this game. Nobody.
I have never claimed I was sane. I've only claimed that Shaq Fu is amazing.
That's quite a defense you put up there, Jason.
Like, I want to know how much money Shaq got paid to quote-unquote star in this pile of game. I want to know.
It's like other classic games of the time, like Michael Jordan, Chaos in the Windy City, and
That game's really good. That's a great platforming game. There's a lot of really cool aspects about this game. This is a terrible rehash. You know what this is? This is
really because Michael Jordan's Chaos in the Windy City was named in the top 10 worst video games ever in Nintendo Power.
And was Shaq Fu number one?
No, Shaq Fu is under the best. I made that up. That's an amazing game.
You just got lawyered. But no, the Shaq Fu was one of those games. This is how I equate it to. It's the U.S. version of Super Mario Brothers 2. They had no idea what they were going to do with this game. And they were like, you know what? Let's slap it with a bunch of pretty. Let's pay a very, I guess at the time he was popular, because he's definitely not popular now, basketball player. And I'm like, hey, you know, we got a game. We got this. We can sprite you in. You want to be in a video? You want your own video? Michael Jordan's got his own video game. You, Shaq, you're a lot bigger than him. You should have your own video game. So Shaq was like, yeah, sure. Okay, I'll be in a video game. And did Shaq play it? Probably not. But I can guarantee that if he did, he would be just as upset as Bailey and I are at this moment, if not more.
Super upset. And you'll notice they don't have competitive tournaments for Shaq Fu anymore. But they still do for classic fighting games like Street Fighter 2 or like Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3. Those games still get play today because they were honed to such competitive perfection. If you've ever actually played Shaq Fu, which I have to question if you have, I had the unfortunate pleasure of growing up with someone who owned it, and it is the most broken, disjointed, ill-paced, putrid piece of fighting game you will find, even if, as Hunter said, you slap some pretty all over it.
We have to admit, Shaq's really not that pretty of a looking guy. He's not.
Yeah, Shaq, I'm not sure why you said that, Hunter. That was strange.
It's a lot. He's a lot prettier than this game is. I'll say that.
Oh, okay. I'll give you that.
Now, I will have to say, Dodge'em is one of those Atari games. There's two groups of Atari games. There's Atari games that, you know, were like, okay, these are great, groundbreaking. You know, this is the first of its kind. This is going to go on. These ideas of game design and programming are going to continue on into the life of the gaming develop world. And then you have games where you have no idea what the hell it is. And that's Dodge'em. are you supposed to be a car? Because you look kind of like Frogger, but then you're moving around really fast, and then you're playing Pac-Man too. Like, it just seems like let's take every great game that's out there and just smash it together into a piling heap that is this Atari 2600 game.
Hunter, it's interesting to me that you would choose to attack my game from the angle of questioning how memorable it is and how influential it is on games past it and made in the future after it. And yet you yourself have chosen Jerry Glanville's Pigskin Foot Brawl, which, I'm sorry, is not remembered very well, nor by many, nor did it influence any future game within its genre. And, for the record, moves slower than Dodgem.
Yeah, because there's a lot of more cool stuff going on. You can actually make out what all the sprites are. Whereas in Dodgem, it's just like, you know, it's just, I don't know, you're a big blob running around.
Does it really matter what you are, Hunter? Only that you enjoy the thrill. Because
no, let's
face
that
it,
means
when
a
you're
lot.
Moving that fast, everything's a blur.
No, I think it means a lot. I mean, I want to know what I'm controlling. I want to know what the storyline is. If it's just a flash in the pan, you know, it's a pick up and play, zero replay value, then that's fine. But I at least want to figure out what the hell I am. Am I an ant? Because ants don't move that fast. It doesn't look like a bunny rabbit. I can't really make a car out of it. I mean,
is it a cockroach?
The great
maybe?
Thing about it.
Cockroaches are quick. Is it a cockroach?
Kind of looks like one.
Do you want it to be?
No, I want it to be whatever the designer told me it was supposed to be. This isn't a text adventure. I'm not reading a book.
Then it's a race car.
No, it's not. It looks nothing like a race car. It's got to be something else.
Look, just because you lack the psycho-emotional depth to appreciate controlling a protagonist whose form is more decided in your mind than on the screen, I can't help you, Hunter.
One of the biggest issues that I have with Atari 2600 or just all Atari games, especially back in that time, is it was a one-man show. You know, it was like, okay, I need you to design a game. Bailey, I want you to design a game, and I want it in 6 months. Go. You do the artwork, you do the programming, you do everything. And sometimes it works out. You get amazing games like Pac-Man or Missile Command
or
Frogger.
Shaq Fu.
No, okay, you need a huge team of half-retarded people banging their heads up against the wall, wanting to know if those are the fathers to develop a game that's called Shaq. It's called Shaq Fu, which is a slap in the face of the uber popular martial arts style. I mean, how do you think the martial arts community...
He doesn't know Kung Fu, though. He only knows Shaq Fu. It's different.
So, what is it? Please explain.
Oh, it's a form of martial art that Shaquille O'Neal developed himself growing up on the streets.
Well, have you ever seen Shaq shoot a free throw?
I've seen him not shoot a free throw.
This is not a man I would trust training me in some martial arts usage of fine motor skills. I don't think
it's like drunken boxing.
He was next to me.
That's an insult, Jason. You know that. That's an insult.
I would like to point you all to ShaqFu.com.
I refuse to go.
I'm going. Hold on. It's loading.
Not only can you read all about the game, you
Jason,
can read
it. It's another gay porn site. Why do you keep sending me to porn sites?
Shaq Fu.
It's another gay porn site.
Come on, you can donate any amount to the Shaq Fu Liberation Fund.
All I know is when you accidentally put the dot after the C and not before it, it's an entirely different website.
I bet it is.
I'm going to leave it at that.
Hold on, let's see what their mission is. Because apparently it's considered the top 10 worst athlete franchise game.
Oh, even on ShaqFu.com?
Even on ShaqFu.com.
Jason, that's pretty bad. Come on.
It does say GamePro magazine gave the game a 4.5 overall.
What, out of 100?
Out of 5.
100?
It should have been rated 100 out of 4.5.
Oh, wait a second. No, man. This is bad.
No, this is good.
ShaqFu.com is to liberate all the copies of Shaq Fu from existence by buying them from anyone who owns the game, including local retailers, eBay merchants, normal citizens, and the like. Here are the reasons why this is important. Reasons for liberating. One, to prevent other generations from feeling the corruption of this game and its evil.
Two, you clear up the enormous copies of Shaq Fu lying on the shelves in used video game stores. By doing so, you remove it from the public display so that other people who will not be reminded of this game's existence. The guy who was defending this game sends me this website. Purchasing of many copies of this game shifts the demand schedule, consequently raising the price. Even if it costs you more money, it reduces the incentive for a non-liberator to buy the game, a worthwhile sacrifice. You said, like, the link.
Shaq Fu.
So he sends me the link to ShaqFu.com, and the whole site is about destroying the game. Shaq Fu is the Super NES and Genesis and Omega and whatever console SNES came out on version of E.T.
But it has Shaquille O'Neal, which makes it amazing.
I'm not listening to Jason anymore. I think his game has been trashed enough.
Wow.
Fu? I'm stunned. That's a ballsy choice, my friend. Ballsy. And
I went there.
I just want to point out, just real quick, Hunter, when you went on your one-man show speech, that little spiel you had earlier about how sometimes the one man in 6 months could turn out a valued treasure and sometimes not, you pretty much word for word described what I loved about the Atari 2600. Just want to throw that out there.
Really? I mean, the Atari 2600 had so many games. It probably has one of the largest libraries.
Isn't it great?
But no, it's not, because if you've got to go through thousands of carts to find the two really good games that came out with them, and oh, by the way, I already named them, Frogger, Missile Command, and what was the other one?
Dodgem.
No, it definitely wasn't.
The other one?
Pac-Man. Dodgem. Pac-Man. Those are, I mean, anybody who owns an Atari 2600 has those games. I have other games for the Atari 2600. That's because they were 25 cents, and I just want to fill up my shelf. Wait. And guess what? Dodgem was one of them. It's 25 cents.
Did you say Pac-Man?
Yeah, Pac-Man.
You are aware that of all the ports of Pac-Man ever made, the Atari 2600 is considered the worst and is often regarded alongside E.T. as one of the reasons for the video game crash, because consumers were duped into thinking it would be similar to the arcade experience, but it wasn't at all. Very watered down.
So you're saying the Atari's full of watered down games?
Crap. It's crap. Yeah.
When it's an arcade port, but when it's an original Atari 2600 game, such as Dodgem, it's often fantastic.
So, Baylin, let me ask you a question.
Please do.
How many times was Dodgem remade? How many times?
Never. It cannot be duplicated.
No.
It's perfect.
No, actually it has. It has been, it's been rebooted. It's been rebooted as Frogger. It's been rebooted as Pac-Man, because that's what the game is. You take Frogger and you take Pac-Man, you put it together, you have Dodgem. You don't have to remake a game when it's already been remade originally from two other games.
You just picked two of the greatest video games of all time. You're saying it's a combination thereof, and you expect that to be an attack against it? That'd be like if I went to Jason and said, now, Jason, you do realize that Shaq Fu is like a combination of Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, don't you?
No, because come on. No, Shaq Fu's way worse than, come on.
Oh, I know, but not from that argument.
Shaq Fu.
More like Shaq Poo.
All I'm saying is Dodgem is what the craze was at the time. Just like Shaq Fu, it's what the craze was at the time. Fighting game, 2D fighting games were huge at the time. It was probably at the end. What'd you say, Jason? It came out in 1994?
94.
Okay, so that was right at the end of the life cycle. Everybody was starting to jump up to the next generation's consoles. It was at the end of the fad, just like Dodgem was.
You know what?
Well, scene.
I'm gonna give this to Hunter. You know what? I'm casting my vote for Pigskin Football.
I told you I had 2 weeks to prepare for this.
What?
It looks good.
Jerry Glanville?
Yeah. Jerry Glanville.
This looks like something I would buy today.
Oh, it's amazing. And it's inexpensive. You know, you can probably get it for like $6.99.
Sweet.
What is wrong with you people?
Bailey, I know you can't see it right now, but I'm doing the running man. Real slow, because I'm getting ready to hit that finish line.
It's like trap doors, and
it's amazing.
This looks good.
All right,
count it.
I'm going to go ahead and give my closing argument, whether you two are going to listen to it or not. This is primarily for the listeners at this point, I suppose. Dodgem is a cross between Pac-Man and Frogger at a higher speed. It demands your dexterity. It's a lot of fun. You should try it. It's one of the only games that I've played for hours on end on the Atari 2600, and it's definitely superior to the two games chosen by my opponents, whatever they may be about to say in their closing arguments.
Pigskin Football has Elvis sightings.
Shaq Fu has Shaq Fu and Shaquille O'Neal.
All right, well, thanks for joining us, everyone. I want to give a quick shout-out to Ben Landis, whose fantastic music we use for the intro and outro. I also want to give a quick shout-out to the interlude artist,
which was Torslin.
And as a reminder, check out onemorecastle.com. We constantly have new stuff. We're on Facebook/onemorecastle, twitter.com/onemorecastle. And do you guys have anything you particularly want to plug tonight?
You can find me on Twitter at Eric Hunter, or I have a website, ericmhunter.net, where I am working on a continuation of my The Internet Killed Console Gaming.
How about you, Jason?
You can find me online at Jason Lamb. That's my Twitter handle.
Excellent. We got it. We got in early.
Yeah. Nicely done, gentlemen. And just so you know, listeners, I want you to remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. Join us next week on One More Podcast.